Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 28. We'll read verses 16 through 20. If you want to follow along with me in a Bible from the back of the pew, we're on page 835. Matthew 28:16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is God's word.
I've always wanted to come in a slow clap. It's like a dream of mine. It almost seems unfair that you have to be a high school student to be a part of that. And I'm not fully convinced, though, that some of those people dressed up are as happy as they seem. I don't know. Some of those cowboys, I'm not quite buying it yet. But we're so glad to have you. If you're a guest with us, I'm Carson. I'm one of the pastors here. You've probably put this together already, but we have somewhat of a unique morning planned. Last Sunday, we started a new teaching series called Grace-Based Giving on the subject of stewardship. We're going to pick back up on that next Sunday. This Sunday is all about students, all about middle school students, high school students, and the work that God is doing in their lives. As Sarah mentioned, we're coming off of several really significant camp experiences for middle school students who were part of Super Summer. And as you can see, Young Life, not only were those experiences lots of fun, but God was doing significant work in and through those students and through the adults who are there investing in their lives. So we want to celebrate those stories. We want to share them. So that's what we have planned this morning. But we want to do that all in the context of God's mission that he's given the church. We want to look through a very familiar passage for some of us, at least, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and look at that very significant text through the lens of next generation ministry. If we were to become a church that was passionate about reaching the next generation, not only what would that look like, but how could we do that according to Jesus? And that's what we're going to be considering this morning. You know, as I was preparing this week, I was just thinking about even our leadership here. I knew this, but I kind of hadn't really put the pieces together as to how God might have been sovereignly orchestrating our church, even at the leadership level, to prepare us for this moment in time. But every single one of our pastors here came to faith in Jesus as a high school student through some kind of ministry to high school students. Every single one of us. And I came to faith in Jesus as a 16-year-old sophomore in high school. There was a season of time where I was asking questions about God. I was curious about spiritual things. I had this growing sense of unrest internally. Like, didn't quite know what to make of it, but I just had this sense like things are not okay between God and I, and that sent me on this kind of process of reflection and exploration. And as I was sharing all of this with one of my best friends at the time, another high school student like me, you know, he encouraged us to go and talk about it with his aunt and uncle, Tom and Debbie Dakey. And so that evening, we stopped by their home. They had an open-door policy. There was constantly students coming in and out of their house. They really needed to work on some boundaries, honestly. As I reflect, I think that would have been really healthy for them. But for me, I benefited in that I could just stop by any time, walk through the door. And one evening, I walked in, and they sat down, and they listened to me. My friend Jeremy's aunt, in particular, Debbie, just kind of had this sense of what the Lord was doing in my life, and walked me through a booklet that just explained the good news of Jesus about the love of God and the grace of God that was given to us as a gift, and started by helping me make sense of the problem in my own heart that as I was experiencing, the sin that creates brokenness in our relationship with God and with one another and in our world. And she didn't have to do much convincing. Like, I think God had already brought me to that sense of agreeing with him about my own brokenness. But then she shared the good news about how God, despite all of my failings against him, still loved me, was gracious and merciful toward me, and proved it by sending Jesus, his one and only son, to become like me and to live a life that I failed to live, to die on the cross in my place and for my sins. And yet the story doesn't end there. God raised Jesus from the dead. That means he's alive. That means he can be known. That means we have hope. And that the same Jesus who was raised from the dead can raise me from the grave, that there is hope for me, that there's forgiveness available to me, and that this Jesus, who is so good and gracious, is the one who is in charge, ruling and reigning over all things. And as I'm hearing this message that evening, it was like God was in the room with me. I couldn't see him, but he was at work in my heart. And there came this moment where I was invited to respond to that good news by turning from my sin and putting my faith in Jesus. And when that invitation came, there was really no other option that I could make. I was convinced that Jesus really did live, that he really did die, that God really did raise him from the dead, and that he really is in charge of the world. And since that's true, I responded in the moment. I asked God to forgive me. I didn't really know how to pray, but I asked God to forgive me. I told God that I believed in his son Jesus and everything that I had just heard about him. I told him I was ready to give up being the leader of my own life and that I wanted him to come into my life. I wanted Jesus to be my leader, and I wanted him to change me from the inside out. So as best I knew how, I asked God right there in that room publicly in front of people. I asked him to do that, and I have never been the same. I have never been the same since that day. And I immediately came home later that evening to share with my parents what had happened, my mom and my stepdad, and she asked, well, what do you think this means for you moving forward? And at the time, I really had no idea, except I knew that my life was going to be different, that things weren't going to be the same anymore. And so I immediately got plugged into a local church like this one, and I began sitting under the teaching of God's word as a high school student on a regular basis, week in and week out. God used that seemingly ordinary activity to profoundly change my heart and my life. Soon thereafter, I got involved with the musical worship team, serving most every Sunday morning and Wednesday night playing drums. They let some punk teenage kid get behind a drum kit and play every single Sunday morning. And God used that to develop within me a heart for service, specifically toward his people, the church. I got involved with a small group that met on Sunday evenings in someone's home every single week, where I could gather with other students like me to talk about God's word and learn about it and ask questions about it and laugh and eat food and build friendships. It was so significant for me, all of these things coming together, being used by God to grow me up and build a firm foundation in my life. And I had older adults, not just my peers, but adults who were my own parents' age or even older, who invested a ton of their time and energy in me. I was at their house in the summers when I was off school, far too late when they had to get up at 4 o'clock the next morning, but they would listen to me. I ate more food in their fridge than they should have ever let me eat. I asked them so many probably irritating, annoying questions that they just probably wanted me to leave and find something else to do. But what all of that did was make me feel so cared for and loved. So I start Student Sunday as the product of a healthy student ministry full of people who care deeply about me, and that has set the trajectory for the rest of my life. And so I am very, very optimistic about the work that God wants to do amongst the next generation in this church and amongst the students who aren't yet a part of this church. And I'm not optimistic because we're so awesome or intelligent or capable or so well-resourced or cool. I'm so confident, and I think we can be so confident about the work that God is going to do because of what Jesus says at the beginning of the Great Commission in verse 18. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And he says these words after his victorious resurrection from the dead, and just before his exaltation to the right hand of God the Father, where he currently rules and reigns over all things. And from that place in Acts 2, he sends the gift of his Holy Spirit, God himself, to indwell his people, the church, and send them out on mission. And what Jesus does is he shares his authority with us. So we can be confident and optimistic about Jesus' work amongst the next generation, not because of who we are in and of ourselves, but because who we are in Jesus. The one who has all authority in heaven and on earth has shared that authority with us, his people, so that we can chase after the next generation and lead them to Jesus. We can be extremely optimistic about the work that God wants to do. So this morning, we're going to look at Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And as we do, what we're doing is we're going to get a vision, a glimpse of God's heart for students. And what we're going to see is that the purpose of mission is to make disciples of the next generation. That is the purpose of mission, to make disciples of the next generation. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get started, starting in verse 19. Father, we are encouraged by the words of Jesus. While they may be very familiar to some of us, they still are just as important today as they ever were. God, we thank you that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, the King, and that he shares that with us, his people, empowers us and enables us to bring the good news of Jesus, of your love and your grace, and to share it with other people, knowing that you're going to transform the lives of middle school and high school students by that message. So as we listen this morning, I pray that we would be moved to respond rightly to reach the next generation. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you're looking at your Bibles, we're going to start in verse 19. To give you some context, Jesus is talking to his remaining 11 disciples, again, after his resurrection, before his ascension, and he's given them their mission, and by extension, he's giving us our mission. This is what the church is to do. This is our mission. Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Now, maybe when you read this, the first word that really captures your attention is that word go, right? Go get them. And while that's a very important word, the main verb, the main action in this text is make disciples. That is the call that Jesus is giving us. And if you're unfamiliar with the word disciple, it literally means learner. So a disciple of Jesus, then, is someone who is learning to follow Jesus. It's someone who's learning to be changed by Jesus, someone who is learning to live for Jesus, disciple-making mission. That is who we're to be, and that is who we are to make of the next generation, disciples. Notice the scope. He says we're to make disciples of all nations, and he's concerned less with geography, less with particular places defined by geographical borders. Instead, what he's thinking of is people groups, ethnic groups, populations of people who haven't yet heard the good news of the rule and reign of Jesus. And when we think of our own city, arguably the largest unreached people group in Independence, Missouri, is middle school and high school students. And so if we're going to be serious then about reaching the next generation, that should move us to action. So the question we're considering on Student Sunday is, how do we make disciples amongst the next generation? Jesus tells us that we're to make disciples, but how do we do it? And Jesus gives us three words, three participles. Those are the ing words, if you're bad at grammar like me, to explain how we're to do this. So that's going, baptizing, and teaching. So first, we make disciples of the next generation by going to students. Read again verse 19. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. We make disciples of the next generation by going to students, by being with students where they live, where they learn, where they work, where they play. So if we really want to be passionate about reaching students, then it's not going to be enough to sit and hope and pray that they come to us and walk through the doors of the church building. Instead, we have to find ways of incarnating and embedding our lives in their lives. And that's why we are partnering with Young Life. And if you're unfamiliar with Young Life, their mission is to introduce adolescents to Christ and to help them grow in their faith. This effort does not start with a program, not with an event. Instead, it starts with adults who are passionate about reaching students, going to be with them, entering into their world on their turf, in their everyday, every week activities. And so that's why we are partnering with Young Life Independence, because that's who we want to be as a church. We want to go to students and reach them where they are. So with that introduction, you noticed Brent and Bailey, who have just spent an entire week chasing kids all the way to Sharptop Grove, Georgia. Cove. What did I say, Grove? See, I didn't go on the trip. Sorry, I'm still working on it. And they are back to share about their experience. This is the first team that we've ever sent to Young Life Camp. So, that being said, we have several students, and we would love for you to introduce yourselves. Maybe share your name, your grade, and the school you're a part of.
I'm Bailey Higgins. I'm actually the area director for Young Life Independence, first ever. I don't go to school anymore, so yeah.
I'm Taylor Truman, and I go to Truman High School, and I'll be a senior.
I'm Ryan Caswell, and I'll be a senior at Truman.
Hello, and welcome to today's group therapy session. My name is Trent Blaney. I'm going to be a senior, and I'm homeschooled.
I'm Caleb. I go to Truman. I'll be a senior. And I'm Brent Nichols. I'm the guy that Bailey bamboozled into going on this trip. So.
And he has a tough Sucka. Beard. Yeah, so when you reflect on your camp experience, what would you say is your very favorite part and why?
Trent.
Whoever wants to go.
Trent.
One of my favorite parts would be when we received the message from our speaker, David Morgan. He spoke that he showed a series of pictures from famous artists, and they showed that he spoke that they didn't have as much worth as they would have unless they had a particular signature on them, and that we have God's signature, and that's why we are so magnificent, because we are one of his greatest masterpieces.
That's awesome. Yeah, someone else. Best part, why?
Ryan.
My favorite part was being around so many people who are just connecting with Jesus and saying yes to Jesus and the energy that it brought.
Yeah, while you guys think about it, I don't want to steal your answer, so I'm going to change it this time. But it's cool to hear them talk that way, because we had an absolute blast. Like, the pictures just, I mean, it was fun. I mean, we got to be high schoolers for a week. But my favorite part is, I haven't measured the pews, but like that's like the longest pew, and we just packed that thing, and we're going to pack more and more. And so my favorite part is probably the after, just being here amongst these guys, knowing that this core is like going to change Independence. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I kind of loved the fact that they got to have a week without their devices and just away from their normal responsibilities and rhythms. They got to really just have a clear picture of the gospel without any interruptions. And so that was really cool to see.
Did you guys find yourself kind of shaky the first couple days without your devices? Did you go through any withdrawals? No? Okay. Good for
no,
you.
Not really. I didn't want it back.
Yeah. So you've canceled your subscription then?
No, but when we gave them back on the buses, they were like, "We're good. We're good. We don't need them."
I don't believe it. Okay. What did God teach you personally through your Young Life experience? Of all the probably good things that you heard, I missed something. 10 years from now, what's the one thing that you're going to remember and why?
Taylor.
Fired up, Taylor.
Taylor, take it away. The most memorable part for me was God's crazy about you. It's just, I've never heard it that way, and it's cool to think and really powerful that, like, God not only loves you, but he likes you. And, like, we don't really hear that as, like, humans. Like, most people either like you, but they don't love you, or vice versa. So, like, I think it's really cool that he does both.
That's awesome. Yeah, somebody else.
Caleb.
I would say just, like, being reminded that, like, God's there, like, his presence, knowing that he's there in your biggest struggles, but also there in, like, the small struggles that you have, like, he's there no matter what.
Awesome. Yeah, anybody else?
Just to be open to others and patient and love everyone around you and just have fun.
I'll add to that. I think these kids realizing that Jesus isn't boring was really powerful for me as an adult, but also to just watch them kind of just have this realization that saying yes to Jesus doesn't mean that I have to say no to a lot of fun stuff. Saying yes to Jesus means that I get to do a lot of awesome things. They have also just kind of started to build this incredible community. A lot of them don't have things in common. And so to see them want to hang out and spend time together and talk about deep, meaningful things together, just because they have Jesus in common. And so that's been really cool to see and awesome to think about for the future of our city for kids.
Yeah, that's great. As you think about your experience, now that you're back home, and you anticipate what that's going to mean for your life moving forward, like what do you anticipate, or how have you noticed God working within you to move forward in your passion to reach other students like yourself?
Caleb.
So I think, like, going back to, like, the school year this year, like my senior year, just, like, through the 3 years, or even through middle school, just seeing just the just kids being lost, like not knowing, like what they can find their joy in. So I think being able to demonstrate and show love to others is something I'm going to be pretty passionate about this year. And even just showing God's love, and like Bailey said, like it's fun, like, and like that's what can save kids, and it's not going to be anything else.
Anybody else? What are you excited about? Brent?
No, I just say that I'm really excited to, our story, my family's story, we got here in August, been out here a year, and we got out of the military to be in a community like this, and so to just be on the ground floor with these guys and see them as fired up, I mean, it's beyond anything we could have even planned coming out of camp. And so camp's like this utopian life, right, you know, but everyone seems to have a really good grasp of, like, now the work starts, and so I think we're really excited about that.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to pray for this crew. I would love for you to silently pray along with me, and then maybe we can show them some support, okay? So pray with me. Father, we're so grateful just for the work that you're doing in their lives. We're thankful that you have provided an opportunity for them to hear the good news of Jesus, to be encouraged, to have a sense of community that they can bring back home with them. Thank you for the passion that you're building within them to go to others and share Jesus with them. I pray for you to continue your work of transforming them from the inside out into the image of Jesus, that they might display something of your love and grace to everyone that they interact with. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, give them some encouragement. So in light of what you just heard, in light of this partnership that we're moving toward, Life Connection students partnering together with Young Life to strategically engage in the mission to the next generation, just want to offer a couple tangible next steps that we could take, you know, one for students and then one for the rest of us. So if you are a student, specifically a high school student, as we think of Young Life, this fall, we're going to be launching the first ever Young Life Club, which is a weekly environment that's not only fun, but strategically built to reach students where they are. Students who have never heard about Jesus, or at least don't understand him, who maybe haven't grown up in the context of the church. It's an environment where students can reach students, where students have already begun to follow Jesus, can learn how to intentionally invest in their friends who haven't yet encountered the good news. So we want to encourage you, if you're a student, like, we want to encourage you to be a part of that, to engage in that environment, to think of your friends at school and at work and your neighbors who maybe need to hear about this message of Jesus. This is a strategic way that you could include them in an environment where they're going to hear that on a regular basis. So that's a next step that you could take. But if you're an adult, specifically if you're a parent of a middle school or high school student, we want to encourage you to engage in a meeting that we've got coming up at the end of the month. It's a parent-student meeting. We would love to have you be a part of that, because what we want to continue to do is cast the vision for the next generation ministry that we're engaged in through this church. We want to tell you the why, the what, and the how. We want you and your students to be there so that you can have a clear sense of what it is we're moving toward, but just as importantly, how you can engage, how you can partner together with students to invest in them for their growth and development. So that's a next step that I would encourage of you. So first, we make disciples of the next generation by going to students. But secondly, we make disciples of the next generation by baptizing students. So look back to verse 19. We make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we make disciples of the next generation, according to Jesus, by baptizing students once they hear the good news of Jesus and respond to it by turning from sin and turning to Jesus. When anyone, including a student, makes that decision to trust Jesus, the next step to begin a life of discipleship is to confess Jesus publicly in baptism. The word baptize literally means to dip or to immerse. So next Sunday, we're going to have a baptism celebration, and we're going to be baptizing at least two students, a middle school student and a high school student. And if you've never been a part of one of those celebrations, you're going to see them getting dunked. They're going to be immersed. And there's a beautiful picture that's being painted as we do that. The significance of baptism is this. When we get baptized, we are publicly identifying with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. It is a visible picture of the gospel message. So when a person goes under the water, they are publicly identifying with Jesus in his death on the cross and in his burial. And in that, we're saying the old life, the old me that I once lived is dead. Died with Jesus on a cross, was buried with him in a tomb. That me no longer exists. And when they come up out of the water, they are publicly identifying with Jesus in his resurrection from the dead. We say, essentially, we are a new creation in Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. I'm going to live the rest of my life with Jesus as my king. I'm going to follow him. And it's also a picture of us coming under the authority of God. That's why in this text, Jesus says we're baptized into the name, the singular name of the triune God, who is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's what Jesus is telling us to do. And what we have now is another story. We have Shelby Johann and Olivia Van Fossen who have come to share a little bit about their story and about the next steps Olivia is taking. So could you encourage them and welcome them for a moment? So maybe share, Olivia, a little bit about like who you are, your age, what school you go to, and something about your spiritual background.
Yeah, hi, my name is Olivia Van Fossen. I am 16 years old. I'm a junior at William Chrisman, and I used to have no spiritual background.
Very cool. So that said, you have been spending some significant amount of time with Shelby. Shelby has been investing in your life and in your spiritual growth for some time now. So could the two of you together just share a little bit more about what that's looked like and how you've grown together?
So Olivia and I have known each other since November. She started coming with Paul and Sarah Jeffries. And she's been very faithful. She's here almost every Sunday. So we have talked about several different things through our curriculum. But around January, we started hanging out outside of the church building. So that might look like her coming to Target with me and my three children. It's a really exciting experience. It is an experience for sure. We also do dinner together on occasion, or lunch since now that it's summer. And yeah, it's been a cool ride.
That's great. A couple months ago, our whole church did a teaching series called The Three Circles. And if you're unfamiliar, it's just a framework for learning how to share with others the good news of Jesus. So our whole church went through this process, and then Life Connection students spent 5 weeks learning how to do this and then practicing sharing it with others. So this led to some significant conversations. So in light of that, would you all share a little bit about some of the significant conversations that you had as you went through the three circles?
So we had been going through the three circles, and we came to our very last week, which was our respond week. And earlier that week, Olivia and I had hung out, and she had shared with me that she had shared the three circles with one of her friends. And I left that conversation feeling a little deflated about myself, because I thought, man, that was my opportunity to ask her, like, so what do you think about Jesus, Olivia? Felt like I blew it. Sunday came around, I had started prepping earlier that week and realized, oh, this is respond. This is it. I'm just going to ask her. So I had Olivia, my friend Kara, who does ministry with me also, I said, Olivia, why don't you share with Kara what you did this week? So she said, I shared the three circles with one of my friends. So I asked Olivia, I said, so what do you think about Jesus? Who do you think he is? I said, do you like want him to be Lord of your life? What's your response? Do you want to?
What was your response?
Oh, I said, yeah.
but it was very enthusiastic. They laughed, they cried. Well, and it's because of that conversation that we wanted them to have an opportunity of sharing now, because Olivia and I had a conversation earlier this week about a next step that she wants to take. So, Olivia, do you feel comfortable sharing a little bit about it?
Yeah, so my next step is to get baptized.
I'm not sure if there's any connection between that picture, necessarily. I bet y'all didn't see that coming, but Olivia is, in fact, one of the two students getting baptized next week. And so, yeah, that's something to celebrate. Before you guys get up, I'm going to pray for you. So, again, just want to invite you back next week, because next week's also going to be a celebration, and we want to encourage them. We want to show them that we're here to support them long term. And so I'm going to pray for y'all before you have a seat, and I'd love if you pray with me, okay? Father, we're thankful for your work in the life of Olivia, just the way you've loved her and you've revealed yourself to her. Thank you for people like Paul and Sarah Jeffries and Shelby and others like Kara who just love her and invest in her. And we're just so encouraged to see your kindness in drawing Olivia to yourself. We're excited to be a part of her baptism next week. And we pray for her life. God, that you would continue to do the profound work in her that you've already begun, that your love and care for her would be so personal and tangible that she would never want anything more the rest of her life. So we thank you, and we look forward to all the work that you're going to do, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can you encourage them again as they have a seat? So if, whether or not you're a student, we're having that celebration next Sunday, and this is your last Sunday to let us know if that's a step you're considering. So if you're a student who's put your faith in Jesus, but you haven't yet taken the step of obedience to follow him in baptism, I want to encourage you and ask you to consider taking that step next week. If you're not a student, but you've put your faith in Jesus, but you've never followed Jesus in baptism, this is where it starts. These are the first steps of following Jesus, and we'd love to celebrate with you. So just fill out your communication card if that's you. Mark baptism under the next step section. We'll follow up with you this week, and we'll do the best job that we can of helping you discern whether or not that's a next step that you need to take. So we've seen that we make disciples of the next generation by going to them, by baptizing them, and then finally, we see that we make disciples of the next generation by teaching students. So look to verse 20. Jesus says, make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So while baptism is extremely important, it is so significant that we understand this. Baptism is the starting line of the Christian life. It is not the finish line. And perhaps in your mind or the mind of the family you came from or in the minds of those you've talked to in your life who are somewhat religious, maybe in their thinking, you get baptized, you're good to go back to living life however you want. That is not the vision that we see in the New Testament. Baptism is the first step of a lifetime of following Jesus, which is why Jesus says that once a new believer comes to faith and they follow Jesus in baptism, we begin the lifelong pursuit of learning all that Jesus has commanded us. But notice, he doesn't just say learning all that Jesus has commanded us, but learning to trust and obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. And sometimes when we hear that, we think that sounds kind of heavy, that sounds kind of oppressive, but here's the reason it's good news. Jesus is a good king. He loves you more than you love yourself. His word, his commands are life-giving and liberating. The only way to true life, true joy, and the satisfaction of your heart is through faith in Jesus and obedience to his commands. So it is good news that we embark on the lifelong process of learning to put his word into practice. This is practically what it means for us to live under the rule and reign of Jesus. Jesus rules by his word. If I say yes to his word, I say yes to his leadership. If I say no to his word, I say no to his leadership and the blessing and life-giving reality that comes with it. And so we want to encourage us to be a people who invests in the next generation in such a way that we are teaching them to build their lives on the obedience of faith. And so that's why I want to share another story with you. I really wanted him to be here to be able to share this, but his family was out of town. But there was another camp experience that middle school students participated in this June, this past June, called Super Summer. So we sent a dozen or so middle school students. We sent adult volunteers, Tom Crow and Cody Hudson. They gave a week of their life to invest in these students. And all along the way, there was this text group where they were posting pictures of kids having a great time and sharing stories. And one of the most significant stories that we heard was about Josh Forrest, one of our middle school students, who had heard the good news of Jesus during his camp experience, responded, and put his faith in Jesus. And so we were then able to have a follow-up conversation with him to talk about baptism. He, too, is going to be baptized next Sunday. But then comes the next conversation of Josh, what do you think it's going to look like for you to follow Jesus after your baptism? And is there anyone in your life or anyone in the middle school ministry that you would feel really excited to spend time with, someone that could begin discipling you? And he immediately said, yeah, Mario Cancillo, that would be great if I could begin meeting with him. And so Mario has chosen to then begin investing his life personally in Josh Forrest so that we can begin to see Josh learning to not only know Jesus' commands, but to trust them and obey them, because that is what Jesus has told us is integral to being and making disciples. And that's the kind of picture that we want to see in Life Connection students. Adults like you and I who care so much about them that we're willing to give our lives to them, and not just in the programs of the church, as significant as that is, but outside of that time in the everyday mundane routines of our life, as Shelby said, going to Target with the craziness of your little kids. When you're sitting across the table over a meal, when you're playing together and having fun and serving together in the context of your church, it's in those everyday rhythms and environments that we can begin to teach others, teach the next generation, not only what Jesus has commanded, but how to obey it. And so this teaching comes with it both instruction as well as modeling. It's not just opening a Bible and sharing what Jesus has spoken, but we want to model it. It's one thing to say Jesus has told us to share our faith. It's another for a student to see you sharing your faith with someone else. If you really want to be able to teach someone how to share their faith, they've got to see it to be it. They've got to see you do it. If you want to teach a student how to one day become a godly parent, they need to see you parenting your kids. That means they need to be in your house, around your family. If you want to teach a student how to love God's word, they have to be with you and see you love God's word. And so we have to instruct, but we also have to model. And so maybe you're someone that God is stirring a passion within for the next generation. Maybe you're someone who needs to consider being one of those young life leaders or a leader in the middle school student ministry here in this local church. Someone that can not only instruct the next generation, but someone who can spend time with students so they can see you follow Jesus in the day-to-day. If that's you, like, we want to hear from you. We want you to fill out a communication card and let us know about your heart. Once again, we want to invite you to come to that parents and students meeting if you're a parent of either a middle school or high school student. Parents and students themselves, if you're a middle school or high school student, we want to invite you to that meeting, the parents and students meeting, at the end of this month on July 28th. We're going to provide you pizza, and then we're going to talk about the what, why, and how of student ministry. And we want to share how you can personally and strategically invest in the lives of students. So that would be a great next step for you to take. You can just text the word meeting to the number behind me on the screen or fill out your communication card. We'll get you registered that way. So this is what we're seeing from Jesus, is that if we're going to make disciples of the next generation, that happens in three ways. It means by going to them, it means baptizing them when they come to faith in Jesus, and then giving our lives to them, showing them how to trust and obey Jesus' words. And I think, once again, that we can be extremely optimistic about the work that God wants to do in the next generation, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. He is the one who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Not only this, but the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth has made us a promise. And he says it at the end of the Great Commission. He says, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The one with all authority is with us as we engage in his mission to be and make disciples. So what would otherwise be an impossible task is now possible, because the one who has all authority is with us. And so we want to conclude our time, we want to conclude our teaching by meditating on Jesus. Not only who he is and what he's done for us in his death on the cross, but what it means that he is with us every moment of every single day. So the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23 prepares us to observe the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So if you are new to church and you are new to this, Paul has just explained to us what we're doing and why we're doing it. When we take the broken bread, we're remembering Jesus' broken body given for you. And when you dip it in the cup, you're remembering his shed blood on the cross, the new covenant in which God himself dwells with us by his Spirit. And we remember that the one who is with us is empowering us to be and make disciples, because that is the purpose of mission, is to make disciples of the next generation. So we want to encourage you, if you know Jesus, we want to encourage you to come forward and worship. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful and encouraged by your grace at work in our midst, that you would condescend to step into our world when you had no obligation to us, when you would choose to love us, when we had done nothing but run away from you and dishonor you by our thoughts, words, and deeds. We're just so grateful that you found us, that you rescued us, and that you're continuing to do that very work in the lives of students. God, give us a heart and give us a passion for the next generation. Give us an enthusiasm, a genuine love that's willing to inconvenience itself and sacrifice to introduce more people to Jesus. And I pray in the next year that we would see our church filled with middle school and high school students who are passionate about knowing Jesus and living for him. We ask that in his name. Amen.